met, any of those facilities could then be converted to a fixed unit. For those reasons, we ask that you not support this proposal.
Carrie, let me try to ask the question that I think we all have on our minds, and it's a public policy question that's probably broader than this commission, certainly something that Senator Grassley and others have been wrestling with. But you pointed out in your opening remarks that there is available capacity at other not-for-profit facilities. Commissioner Guillermo said, why aren't they taking the patients? I'm not sure any of us know the answer to that, but do you have any suggestions from a policy standpoint about how we would get a more equitable distribution of patients?
I mean, unfortunately, it is a matter of a compliance issue as opposed to the rule drafting at this level. Yeah. However, you know, the existing standards do provide an opportunity to convert from a mobile to fixed in a number of areas. And as Dr. Basha mentioned, he has that ability in Dearborn right now with his existing utilization, which would open up additional capacity. And I think that the existing standards do provide that path for applicants.
So your position would be that rather than carving out a so-called charity exception, we allow people to convert from mobile to fixed if they meet the standards in the definition to avoid creating another exception in the standards.
Exactly.
Other questions? Thank you, Carrie.
Thanks.
Newcard Lodi, Zwornstein, Alliance for Health. And we have two other cards. If anybody else wants to speak, just give Michael or Tanya a card.
I would like to just make one comment, if I could, and it really relates and follows up to Commissioner Darimo's question. I would remind the Commission that the MRI standards currently, in fact, just about all standards, include a standard phrase saying the applicant, as a condition participation agreement, has to say that they will serve all without regard to ability to pay or source of payment. Every applicant who's come through CON is subject to that, and there's also an additional sentence that they will collect information by sources of payment as a backup to this. I'm very disturbed if there is dumping of patients or avoidance of patients when institutions have already agreed to serve all without looking at how much then if they can pay or who would pay. So I would suggest that one of the things you may want to do, since every applicant has said they will collect information along that line, ask for the information that they've all agreed to collect. The department should be on top of that. It's one of those things that you can do relatively easily without having to change standards at this time, but see what the situation is. Are people living up to the terms that they've agreed to when they've gotten their equipment? So with that, sorry to take your time, but it would seem a little easier thing at this time.
Questions? Thank you, Lloyd. We have two more cards. Sean Gailey, Ascension Health.
Good morning again. Sean Gailey with the Michigan Health Ministries of Ascension Health. I first want to acknowledge what we I want to echo some of Dennis's comments from the Economic Alliance of Michigan as to why we have very serious concerns with this proposal. I do want to acknowledge, though, the laudable goal that appears to be in this proposal that Dr. Basha has brought forward around 25%, accepting 25% or a threshold of 25% of uninsured and Medicaid patients that he would have to accept. We do have very serious concerns, though, about exceptions to the standards. And while I didn't comment on the previous proposal, the Oaklawn proposal, if you will, this does seem to also be another exception that we are providing to the standards. We're also concerned, as Commissioner Darimo outlined, the nonprofit versus for-profit issue. This does seem to be establishing in the standard a lower threshold for a for-profit entity than exists for a nonprofit entity. I can't answer Commissioner Darimo's question about what gap potentially exists and why nonprofit hospitals aren't filling this. I can tell you that our systems provide significant amounts of uncompensated care across our system. St. John Health is somewhere in the range this year of $150 million, and our other systems are likewise. I would like to go back, I guess, and find out. I take issue a little bit with the allegation that we're turning patients away if they don't have insurance. I don't think that is a wholesale example of how we as a system, and again, I would point to our level of uncompensated care. But whatever need exists, this particular entity appears to be succeeding in a business model that is allowing for 25% of their patients to be uninsured or Medicaid. Whether these patients are, this is a choice on behalf of patients to go to these facilities, or whether this particular organization is reaching out to those patients and bringing those patients in, I think goes to a question about a statement that I heard that somehow this is the facility of choice. So I think there are a number of very concerning things in this proposal that we as a nonprofit health system share with the Economic Alliance and others. And I guess I would caution you as you move forward that this does have implications around all of those issues. So I'll stand there.
Thank you, Sean. Questions?
Commissioner Angelini. Sean, I didn't mean to imply that your institution or other institutions are turning away patients, and clearly you give millions of dollars away in uncompensated care. My point was this, that for elective problems, it is, as a clinician, it is very difficult to get an elective MRI done on a patient that doesn't have insurance. The patient is not so much turned away as, well, the MRI costs $1,000. When you have $1,000, we'll be happy to do it. And so the patient then comes back to the clinician and says, what am I supposed to do? I don't have the money. And you begin treating the patient without a test that you really need to have done. So that's a special area of patient care, but a common area, not at all rare. And I'll give you a perfect example. Somebody with back and disc problems, which we all know how common they are, and you're unable to get a study that you really need to help sharpen the diagnosis. So I just wanted to make that clarification. Thank you.
Thank you.
Other questions? Thank you, Sean.
Thank you.
Last card from Amy Barkholz, Michigan Hospital Association.
My mom gave me a shorter name because it takes me a long time to write it down. I'm Amy Barkholz from the MHA, and I'm up here to oppose the proposal for the same reasons that a lot of people have come up and articulated, so I won't spend a lot of time talking about that. But I do recognize, first of all, I'm concerned, and I don't have an answer to some of the allegations that have made about whether our nonprofit hospitals are making MRI services available. And I think that is a legitimate question that's raised. I really think that this whole discussion really points to the serious problem that we have with our healthcare system and how we deal with people that need healthcare. And, so I think that that's a broader context. And I don't necessarily think that it's the right thing to be talking about when we're talking about this particular proposal. I really think that the MHA's concern is that adopting a standard that creates an incentive to increase carve-outs for for-profit services is a bad model for maintaining statewide access to all kinds of services. And that's the same point that a lot of people have made. And I think that's a valid point. But I do think that the concerns people have raised about where someone who doesn't have insurance or has Medicaid gets elective services is valid, and we should look into that. I don't have an answer to that, but I'm not also willing to say, based on our anecdotal discussion today, that we can draw some wide conclusions about what's happening everywhere in the state. But I'd certainly like to look into it. That's it. Thanks.
Questions? I have one question. I'm just confused about your first statement. What name is shorter than Amy?
Ed.
I don't think the Hospital Association took a position on the prior issue about converting fixed to mobile primarily for Oaklawn. Do you have a position on that issue?
I don't have a position one way or the other. I think that our members could be split on that issue. Obviously it was an exception. I think they made a very good point for why it was needed. I do see a difference between that particular issue and this issue, because this particular issue is talking about creating a new pathway for a standalone for-profit service, and I think our concern is how that affects our model of healthcare delivery in Michigan. And I think that Michigan's CON program does a much better job than many other states in keeping a balance in that model so that we have a healthcare safety net, so that there's integration of services. We do allow for for-profits to come and provide care in Michigan, but we balance it in a way that I think is much better than every other state does, and we don't have some of the same problems. And we have lower costs in Michigan, and we have studies that I can pull that show that we have lower healthcare costs in Michigan for inpatient hospital services and other services with the same level of quality or higher quality. So that means that this balance is doing something right, and I think that for this particular discussion, we might be changing that balance. Even though I commend Dr. Basha for the level of charity care he's providing, and I think that Commissioner Duramo was raising an important point. Are we all living up to the appropriate standards that we need to, since we have a woefully inadequate system generally of making sure everybody who needs health care gets it? And the system that we have in place is that we have nonprofit community hospitals that are social safety nets, and they do the best they can. Sometimes they can't compete with Dr. Basha to provide a level of charity care for a particular service because they have to provide that charity care across the board. And so my concern with this proposal that I didn't have with the other one is that's shifting that balance.
And just to follow up, and I appreciate that, and I know this isn't your primary issue, but do the community benefit accounts that most not-for-profit hospitals have, do they specifically kind of address imaging services, and can that be a pathway to focus the issue so that I'm going to follow up with the department, because I think Lodi's comment about we've got the ability to evaluate this issue and get the data on it. I think we absolutely need to exercise that tool. But also with the pressure coming, I think you mentioned from Senator Grassley and others on community benefit,
right.
If we can do better, we should.
Well, I agree, and I take that point. I would just say I don't know that, the part of the problem with community benefits is every community needs to make a judgment about where they can spread the benefits around. And so, I would be concerned about creating a certain threshold across the board for a particular type of service like imaging. That may not be appropriate in every community. They may want to shift their balance of community service elsewhere. But I do hear what you're saying, and I think that there is a concern. And there seems to be a trend nationally to take a look at what nonprofits are doing to justify that status.
Other questions? Thank you. We are open for commission discussion. Commissioner Sandler, anything?
Yeah. Let me make a comment about the work group, and I'll try to answer Commissioner DeRamo's comment. Basically, we heard the same arguments at the work group that you just heard, so there's no reason for me to go through them again. What happened at the last meeting was on a 5-3 vote in favor of this proposal, but not necessary 6 votes. There were some issues raised, such as the length of the duration here of only 3 years. There were some other issues raised, and it was decided, I was asked, would I do another work group and kind of flesh them out, which we did. This will be the last work group. There's no reason to go over all of these issues again. Here are my thoughts. After work group, the same people said basically the same things as they heard. In fact, I could have given all the testimony and would have saved a lot of time, frankly. But here is what this boils down to. This is not admittedly as clear, at least in my mind, as the first two. Dr. Basha is providing a service. Now, how is he providing it differently? And assessing his service, which I have done, he has a fleet of 35 to 40 cars and provides free transportation into the inner city of Detroit, Pontiac, and other enclaves of poverty. The bulk of these people have no insurance. Some have Medicaid. Some have no insurance. Some pay a few dollars out of their own pocket. It is beyond even, I believe this is correct, why aren't they going to Beaumont or St. John's or Oakwood or Henry Ford, whatever? They're not oriented. They're sitting in their house. They go to a neighborhood clinic. Their church helps them. And they said someone tells them an MRI, and they all know that Dr. Basha will provide this and the transportation and facilitate an appointment with them. On his original materials, he had letters from the Council of Baptist Ministers and various other people, which actually gave credence to what I just said. That appears to be why they're going to him as opposed to other institutions. In effect, he's almost seeking these people out and facilitating their appointments. I believe that's the explanation that Commissioner Duramo would ask. I think that's correct. Basically, the proposal comes down to only 2 points. He is providing a service which is necessary, certainly in the Tri-County area. That's Wayne, Oakland, Macomb. That nobody else is trying to offer. Well, hospitals that are losing money probably aren't going to go trying to find patients who can't pay. I mean, that's fairly evident. That doesn't mean that they will reject that patient. They're not certainly not making it known that they're available for those patients. There is a difference there. There certainly is a legal difference, as Mr. Pochin and Mr. Goldman could tell you. Is that worth giving him a break so he can do more patients? Now, the 25% is good for 10 years, and he can't be sold. If he tries to sell this, it can only be sold to a for-profit who then has the same requirement. Frankly, I doubt anybody in their right mind is going to purchase that for the reason I just said, but who knows. Is that worth allowing more capacity? See, unlike the first two, there really is some capacity here, which I said the Oaklawn didn't really have, but he does. I'm trying to be objective. Yes, there is an increase in capacity. The hospital systems don't like it because they can figure out that when he's doing the 75% non-Medicaid, non-pay, those could be patients going to them. And in effect, that was said at the work group, and it's an honest remark. So then you have to balance this. Is it worth it to enlarge your social mission at 25% versus an increase in capacity that potentially could take some patients away from not-for-profit hospital systems that really want those patients? That's where I believe that crystallizes this argument that each of us has to make a decision.
Mr. Goldman, this is Fallahy. We don't have any language to review, so what are we being asked to vote on if we're being asked to vote on anything?
Well, I am going to make a motion which says if the commission votes a majority that the department provide language along the lines we've discussed at the next meeting. if the commission votes the proposal down, I don't believe we should be thinking of this again. I will not bring this up again.